Hi, everybody. Welcome to Recovery from Relapse, meeting on Tuesday, the 20th of May, 2025. And today I am absolutely delighted to welcome LD. L first came into OA in 2014, and then she left and came back in August 2020. She's originally from Scotland, but now lives in London. So I'm going to let her share her experience, strength, and hope. L, take it away, my lovely.
Thanks, Vita. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Elle. I'm a recovered, grateful compulsive overeater and very happy to be here. Nice to see you all. My story is I first came into OA in 2016 and literally ran away screaming. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to stop eating. I wasn't ready for honesty and the openness required. And I tried some meetings and I found a sponsor and I tried abstinence, but I just couldn't do it. And then fast forward 7 years ish, that my math is wrong there, but fast forward to August 2020, and I was on my knees. I was desperate. In the intervening period, I'd had a daughter, but my life was just out of control. I was eating so much all the time and absolutely miserable. And it had got to the point where my 4-year-old noticed. I'd come back from the shops with a whole tray of desserts. And she'd eyed them and she'd had one. And then within 3 hours, they'd all gone. And she'd looked up and said, "Oh, at lunchtime, where are they? And can I have one?" And I said they were all gone. And she just looked at me with this complete look of confusion on her face. And I suddenly realized that if I didn't do something different, it was going to become very apparent to my little girl who looked up at me like I was the bee's knees and realized that something was wrong. So I joined a meeting and it was online because we were in COVID, and it was so different from the original ones that I'd got into face to face about 7 years ago. There were people in the rooms talking about the way that they acted like I did. And what was even weirder was that they seemed to be absolutely happy, and what I now know is joyous and free, and they looked sane, physically, but also across the screen they looked mentally and emotionally sane as well, and I was just like, what is going on? So I listened, I cried my eyes out, and asked lots of questions at the newcomer afterwards, and I just knew this is what I needed. So I did my 6 meetings, I quickly found a sponsor, and I was gifted this abstinence. I honestly don't know how it happened. From one day to the next, I'd done my sort of grieving of what I could no longer eat, having worked out my red list. And at that time, working through the 12 steps, I even had an orange list, but that orange list was on the side until after the 12 steps. And I grieved everything that I couldn't eat for. And then the next day I was abstinent. And I was working the steps with my sponsor. I still to this day don't know how I got that abstinence, because it was not me. Nothing to do with it. And no, it was my higher power, who I call God. And I worked the steps like my hair was on fire, and I got recovery. And in the space of a year, I let go of over 20 kilograms. And had a functioning body that I've never had before in my life, a healthy body. And literally, I would bump into people that I knew from the neighborhood, but because it was COVID, nobody had seen much of us. And people would stop me and they was like, I think you're L, but you're completely different. And even some people saying it's not just you're physically different, it's everything is different about you. What on earth has happened? And depending on who the person was, I would explain some of it or just gloss over it. It depended on the person. And I was living in recovery, and so I was working my program as well. But then the only way to put it is I didn't read the fine print. I didn't read the fine print about that sneaky part in the big book where it talks about operating, working these principles in all our affairs. And there was a warning: failing to enlarge my spiritual life. Yeah, I did. And not to put too fine a point on it, I was also a bit cocky because I came into the program with a faith in a higher power, and so there was a part of it where I didn't think I needed to put as much work into it. Finally, something had shifted. I'd got what I'd always prayed for, but got, my God was still in their box, and so I was still retaining control, and so things started to slip. My food planning slipped. I didn't pick up a red food, didn't pick up a red food, but the food planning slipped. The accountability started to slip. The outreach started to slip. And then more and more of life started to happen and started to grate. And the unmanageability crept back in. My character defects started to take a little bit more control, which bottom line is I took more control. I wanted more control. I let God, talk to God about food, talk to God about, did my step tens when I was irritated with other people. But I wasn't working on enlarging my spiritual life and bringing more of my higher power into the other parts of life. So, the food was okay. And I was doing bottom line maintenance of outreach and working sort of with a sponsor and trying to sponsor to the best of my ability. The spiritual side of it wasn't happening. And it took a full 18 months of that slow ebb of letting things go, getting irritated, having a burnout at work. It was around about Christmas. I'd had one abstinent Christmas, and this was my second Christmas. And I had really let go of the food planning. And so I was in the chaos of Christmas. I was in the chaos of family. And I had not had my carb portion with my dinner. So I was clearing things up. And then I was like, oh, well, okay. So I haven't had my carb portion. I can have it now. And I picked up some carbs, and I didn't stop. And they were on my food plan. They were perfectly okay, but I ate an awful lot. Then I went to bed, and I woke up that next morning with that feeling that I had when I before I came into recovery, of complete food obsession. And complete shame and complete, like everything had just been sitting on me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I have lost my recovery. And the second thought, which I am eternally grateful for, was I heard my higher power say, right, can you get honest? Can you ring your sponsor? Can you get honest and get back into working your steps? This is the decision. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to tell my sponsor that I'd picked up. Because what I didn't want to tell my sponsor was how much of the slipping and sliding I'd been doing previously and that had led up to this, because that was going to be a huge sort of humbling effect. I mean, my major character defect is my pride. And so somehow I just, God make me willing, help me make this phone call. And I rang my wonderful sponsor. And she was like, okay, let's get on with it. Here are the steps. Let's get going. No faffing. And I worked them again. And this time went a deeper level. I will always be grateful for the first time round. It was with a different sponsor than I have now, because the clarity that I got that first time round around the food allergy and my allergic foods, they were what gifted me that abstinence from the food. The second time round that I did my steps is what God gifted me the next part of the journey, which was into emotional sobriety and how to live for the rest of my life in program, and with a spiritual connection. And this second time round in the steps went that level deeper. It wasn't about the food anymore. It was about how I approached life. It was about what things were happening that used to send me into the food, but now I didn't have those, the food anymore. What was I doing, and how was I responding to that, and how to bring all of the principles of the steps into the rest of my life. And for me, what I'm continually learning, as I work my recovery and understand what, how relapse happened and how it can still potentially happen for me, is that for me, the bits of recovery that I really, really have to work is, for me, it's step two, is who and what is my higher power? What do I really believe? And what am I willing to do to keep going in that relationship so that more and more of my life can be blessed by that higher power, and so that I stay further and further away from that path back into the food. And so what has surprised me is one of the key parts of the big book for me in that journey has been we agnostics, especially because I came into program not as an agnostic. I believed, I've always had a faith, but in it, in that chapter, it's all about what are my prejudices in that relationship with the higher power. And I've discovered that I have a huge amount of prejudices against a higher power and a power that is greater than myself and a power that is loving and with me and wanting the best for me. And as I slowly work on dislodging those prejudices, more and more of my life becomes recovered, and I build more and more of a relationship and armor against that descent back into the madness of of my food compulsion and overeating. And that's really surprised me that that's the step for me. Because I thought it would be sort of step four, step 10, getting rid of it, getting rid of my character defects, asking God, my higher power for that help in living life. But actually, for me, it's that foundational step of who is it and what is it that I actually believe that that power can do for me, and if that power is real and is really available and on my side, then what am I willing to open up to that power to help me live my life? And every time I open up something more, it's another step away. I mean, on a daily basis, right? Because sometimes I wake up in the morning and I mean, my relationship with my higher power is I regularly swear at him and, call him all manner of things because I think he's doing it wrong. And, wouldn't have done it that way if you asked me. And very gently and with a whole load of sense of humor, it's like, well, I haven't asked you, have I? Because if you did it your way, it wouldn't work for anybody. So shall we get on with it my way? It's very much that kind of relationship. And but it's a daily remembering of why I need that higher power and who that higher power is to be able to then support me on being willing to hand over my food, hand over my desires for the day, hand over my ambitions, hand over my character defects. Because if I'm if I'm thinking that my higher power is distant, is not interested in me whatsoever, has got way more important people or things to be dealing with out in the world, or, is all powerful, has the purse strings, but is totally uninterested in me, and in fact is actually working against me, then there is no way that I want to be enlarging my spiritual life with that higher power. And that's where I came from. That's the higher power I thought I had. And so, as I've shifted that view of my higher power, my life has opened and changed, and I found peace in working my program and enlarging my life and being able to hand more and more over to my higher power. It's not always a comfortable life, though, and that's one of the other things that I've had to really come to acceptance around. Things don't necessarily change when I want it or the way I want it, and that becomes a big argument with my higher power. And life at the moment, it's a bit sticky on, a whole load of fronts, from family dramas to currently in a job restructuring drama. So, but what it The difference that going through relapse and finding recover and having recovery a second time round and a deeper understanding of who my higher power is has given me more peace, because it's for me now, it's not just about the food. It's not, am I abstinent and am I holding on to that abstinence? It's God, what is your purpose for me now? How is it that you're wanting me to serve in the situation, whether it's with fellows, whether it's in my family, whether it's at work? What is the task just for today or just this hour? And what is it that you're actually asking me to do? And then figuring out how to leave the outcomes to my higher power. I don't find it very easy. Like, literally, I take it back, every 5 minutes. But, it's like, okay, I've got to remind myself, this is not my job to do anymore. This is your job. So, I'll get back in my lane. I'll keep getting back in my lane. But as I reflect on, what it is that's occupying my head and my conversation with my higher power, none of it's got to do with food. None of it. It's actually got to do with living life. And for me, that's the miracle that I experience. There's so much more life now because my head is not full of food. My head is not full of that next meal, that next diet, calculating how many days it might take to lose X amount of weight so that I might be able to do X, Y, Z. None of that's there anymore. The freedom in my mind and in my life is something I never ever want to give up. And so that really helps me with that whole idea of recording like from a hot flame. Every so and now and again there are food thoughts, but it's an immediate, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be back in that form of desperation. And so it propels me to try and keep surrendering on a daily basis to, what it is my higher power needs to talk to me about now to have a peaceful and more accepting life of the way life is. I've kind of run out of steam on that. I don't really like speaking too long or too fast on it. I think if there are newcomers in here, if there's anybody coming back from relapse, the other part of the message is that my relapse was part of my journey, and I'm very grateful that I had it, because if I didn't, I think I would have been white knuckling a form of abstinence that wasn't, that might have lasted me another year or two, but I wouldn't have gone into a deeper place of real acceptance of a higher power in my life, and what that higher power, how much that higher power loves me and really wants a peaceful and blessed life that is set for me, Ellie. And my higher power is the only one that calls me Ellie. I'm Elle to everybody else, but to my higher power, I have that relationship now. I'm Ellie, and I have direction, and I have peace. And it really is as much peace as I want, and as much recovery as I want, depending on what I'm willing to do. My sponsor said to me, and I've never forget, she says, "Well, how much freedom do you want?" And so whenever I'm tussling with something, with my higher power, I remember that question, how much freedom do you want? And I'll never regret choosing to go through that sort of harder dialogue with higher power, or wrestling with the issue, and say, I want more freedom. And so if you're back here, if you're coming back in from relapse, welcome. You're in the best place, and yeah, there's more freedom to be had. Go for it. Thank you for listening, podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for that message. Death and weight, that was wonderful. I'm just going to read out May the 20th, just to finish off your reading because I thought it was very apt. When I was lonely, food was my friend. Oh, sorry, it's the Overeaters Anonymous Voices of Recovery. When I was lonely, food was my friend. It soothed and comforted me and filled the hole that was there when I felt unloved, which was most of the time. I feel sad when I think back to my days before away, days filled with unstoppable eating, self-loathing, and anger. I felt alone in my world and kept smiling apart, kept myself, sorry, apart from my family and friends. Excess food sedated me, but it was never enough. I would swear not to binge the next day, but I couldn't stop eating. After 22 years of coming back to AA, I now love myself first, which means I can love others. I started with AA members. They didn't reject me because of my size or eating habits. I rely on a higher power who loves me and allows me to accept myself as I am. I've learned to love myself, and therefore I can love others. I give service to others in and out of the program. I am alone, but lonely no more.